This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Alex Chadwick. We've been hearing a lot about the Olympic spirit these last 2 weeks. What does that actually mean? 8 gold medals, smashing world records? Or is there something deeper beyond what medals an athlete wins?
We bring you now 3 stories from past games. These athletes all had extraordinary Olympic experiences, but not because of any awards.
Barcelona, 1992. Britain's Derek Redmond was in a semifinal heat in the 400-meter race, and in the middle of it, running in lane 5, he pulled up, limping. Derek Redmond, take us back to that moment. What happened?
Ran the first 100, no problems, got up into my run-in, and just about to really get into the race down the back straight, and 50 meters down the back straight, my hamstring just went.
That muscle in your leg, it popped.
Absolutely, yeah. Blew a hole about sort of 3.5 inches wide, apparently, so I was told after. I just couldn't believe it.
In the video I've seen of this, and we'll link to that at our website, npr.org, you crumple down on the track, mm-hmm. and then you get up and you start trying to run again. It hurts me watching this. I mean, you're evidently in pain. A couple of officials run out, and they're trying to get you to stop, and you shake them off. You keep going until another figure comes out.
I could sense somebody was just about to put their arms around me, and I just assumed it was another official, and then I just heard the voice of my dad, and I realized it was my dad, and with 100 metres to go, he sort of said, look, Derek, you don't need to do this, and I said, I do, just get me back into lane 5, I want to finish, and as he always said, he said, it wasn't the place for a family argument, so I just complied with his wishes, I think was his words, and as I say, he just helped me down the finish line, and I was just sort of saying, like, you know, I can't believe it again, and, you know, and he was just sort of saying, look, you've got nothing to prove, you're a champion in all our hearts and all this sort of stuff, just to try and console me at the end of the day. And yeah, he just sort of helped me over the finish line, and I pretty much broke down after that.
But did you go back to running and competing?
No, unfortunately, that was my last race. I did train for another 18 months or so, but my biggest problem wasn't the hamstring. I'd had a lot of Achilles tendon problems, and after those championships, I think I had about another 4 or 5 operations on both my Achilles. I had a total of 12 operations on my Achilles tendons. 11 operations, 6 on one and 5 on the other. So that was actually my last competitive race.
I'm sorry, Derek, but you're a very healthy guy now and with a good outlook, so... That's good.
Yeah, the funny thing is when I retired from track and field, my other love was basketball, so I played professional basketball for a season. I then played semi-professional rugby for 6 years, and I now race motorbikes. So, it hasn't stopped me. I mean, it's not at the same level of where I was before, but I've still got a competitive edge.
Olympic runner Derek Redmond, whose moment came in 1992 in Barcelona. He's a motivational speaker now. He's also featured in a Visa commercial that you can see running during the Beijing Games. Derek, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Seoul, 1988. Canadian sailor Lawrence Lemieux is traveling through strong 35-knot winds. He's in position to win a medal. Then his boat sails off course. Lawrence Lemieux, tell us what you saw then in the water.
One of the boats from another race that we were sharing a race course with was in trouble, and it's a 2-person boat. And I saw the boat was upside down, but there was only one of the 2 crew members on the boat. I realized that one of them was missing, and it was sort of a matter of half looking around for him while I was still competing and half just basically coming across him and saw him in the water a long ways from his boat. So I had a decision to make.
The decision was whether to compete or whether to help. Which did you choose?
Well, I obviously chose to help. I was yelling at them, you know, do you need help? But the problem is you can't hear. There's too much noise with the wind going by and everything. You know, at the point when I saw the other crew member in the water, then it became obvious that, he needed help. He was going to be lost at sea. And it's a lot of wind and a lot of waves, and there was a lot of boats in trouble. So there wasn't really enough rescue boats around to deal with all the problems. And it was hard enough to see the marker buoys that are 8-foot-high fluorescent orange buoys, let alone a little dark head bobbing in the water. So I thought, well, I better grab them now before nobody can find them.
You grabbed them. You saved them. The head of the Olympic Committee created a sportsmanship medal just for you and what you did. Did it mean as much to you as winning what you might have won if had you continued competing?
Well, yes and no. It obviously would mean a lot to be recognized for your achievements in the sport that you choose. But on the other hand, this story, I think a lot of people remember every 4 years it comes up, and you know there's programs like yours that are highlighting it. So I suppose if I had won a medal, I would have been all been forgotten by now.
Canadian sailor Lawrence Lemieux, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Rome, 1960. Jeff Farrell is going to be a star. He's the best American swimmer. An excellent shot at the gold in the big event, the men's 100 meters. Then, shortly before the qualifying trials, he collapses with appendicitis.
Hoping against hope, of course, I asked the surgeon just before I got wheeled into the operating room how long it would be before I could swim again, and he said it would be about 6 weeks. So, of course, I was devastated.
The qualifying trials are in 6 days. His coach asked the doctors to try to cut around muscle to get the appendix out, and then he waited while Jeff recovered from surgery.
On about the second day, my coach, I saw him talking to the doctor, and he came over and said, doctor said there's an exercise room down the hall. Maybe you should go down there and see how you feel because you're basically in good shape. And also, if you feel good, it turns out there's a swimming pool in the basement of the hospital. So I went down there every day and did a little swimming, a little more. Couldn't do a flip turn or a dive, but eventually got so that I could swim.
Didn't it hurt?
Sure. It hurt when I walked also. It hurt when I laughed. But you got to do these things. And the Olympic Committee, the swimming committee, however, had some ideas. They really wanted me on the team, and they said if he swims in the trials and doesn't make it, we can't very well put him on the team. So why don't we give him a chance to swim later, 2 or 3 weeks later, before the team flies off to Rome, and he can swim off against the slowest qualifier for the relay. So they proposed that to me before my first swim in the prelims, and I said no, it just wouldn't be fair to the other swimmers. And when I was walking over to my starting place, the starting block for my first race, the head of the U.S. Olympic Swimming Committee called me over. They called my name, and I was walking over there, and he said, "Excuse me, Jeff, would you mind signing this?" And he handed me a handwritten piece of paper that was actually a hold harmless, that I wouldn't hold the Olympic Committee or the pool organizers, the meet organizers, or anybody responsible if something happened to me by swimming. I thought their timing was a bit awkward, but it didn't really bother me. And I don't think I was even nervous at the start because I was so overconfident. It was really kind of a bizarre situation.
Jeff Farrell didn't get into the 100 meter. But he did qualify for both U.S. relay swim teams. They set world records in Rome. Jeff was the fastest swimmer in the pool. He almost certainly would have won the big glamour race, too, had he taken the injury offer that he deemed unfair to others. Where are your gold medals?
One of them is in my closet, and the other one is at my son's house across town. He borrowed one to show to his next-door neighbor yesterday.
Jeff Farrell, Olympic swimmer from Rome in 1960. Jeff, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
When we watch these athletes on those award podiums, that's what we don't see, what it takes to get there.
That concludes Day-to-Day's Beijing Olympic coverage. The Winter Olympics are in Vancouver in just 2 years. There's more to come after this.